The Psychopath Inside is a memoir of a neuroscientist whose research led him to a bizarre personal discovery. James Fallon has spent an entire career studying how our brains affect our behavior when his research suddenly turned personal. While studying brain scans of several family members, he discovered that one perfectly matched a pattern he'd found in the brains of serial killers. This meant one of two things. Either his family's scans had been mixed up with those of felons, or someone in his family was a psychopath. Even more disturbing, the scan in question was his own. The Psychopath Inside, a neuroscientist's personal journey into the dark side of the brain, is Fallon's dramatic story of how his research led him to view his life and his scientific work in a new light. He is an award-winning neuroscientist and the Sloan Fulbright and National Institute of Health scholar at the University of California, and it's a great pleasure to welcome him to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Good to meet you, Joe.
Very nice to have you aboard, and nice to meet you. When all of this sort of comes to light for you, at what point in that process do you decide that you want to share it and write about it?
Well, when it really started to unfold, when we got the brain imaging patterns and I had compared to all the murders I had been studying, you know, around 2005, a lot of different things were going on at the same time, just by serendipity. A book had come out that my mother alerted me to about my father's side of the family going back to the 1600s, all these murderers, including my cousin Lizzie Borden. But also, at the same time, I had my family go in as part of a control group for discovering genes for Alzheimer's, and they agreed to do it. And we went in, and that's when I discovered that they were all normal, their brain scans and genetically. But I was like, looked like everything I looked at for years as these really bad, bad guys, these serial killers and murderers. And so, you know, when I found out, I thought it was just curious. I kind of laughed. It was like, oh, that's funny. You know what I mean? And the technician and I laughed that I've been studying this stuff, and now all of a sudden I'm it. And, you know, we were so busy for a couple of years, I didn't even give it a second thought. But then more data started to come in. The genetics looked worse and worse for me. And until I started to ask people, what do you think of me? Because I said, all this stuff looks like psychopathy. I haven't killed anybody. I'm not a rapist. And I went through people from high school, through college, through close friends, through colleagues, many who are psychiatrists who know me intimately, and they all said the same thing. And, you know, when my wife first saw the scan, she goes, it doesn't surprise me, which I should have taken note of. I just kind of laughed at her. But after everybody started to say the same thing, I said, Jim, we've been telling you for years, you got all these psychopathic traits. When we say that, don't do that, you're being a psychopath, you laugh. And it wasn't until at the one time I had to bring this whole life of people's comments that became very consistent, immediately clear, that I said, you know, it's like, oh my God, it's just maybe something to this. And that's really when the story starts on that journey that I write about in the book.
And when people would say that to you, they were noting what aspects of your personality?
They were noting the way I was manipulating people, the way I was skirting around responsibilities that they wanted me to do, the way I would walk over people without knowing it, seemingly, the way, you know, the manipulation and what they consider to be con jobs of people, even when I was telling the truth. You know, especially when I was telling the truth, I was always on the make, in a way. And I was always on a con. But also, more seriously, I put people very close to me all the time at great risk, and physical and social risk. And not stuff that I wouldn't do myself, but I had no problem involving my kids, my brothers, other people that really said, my brother-in-law was a in extremist soldier in Vietnam, an arranger and everything. And when we'd go on vacations together, he said he did things with me that were so dangerous, he never would do anything like that when he was in Vietnam. So they're just physically and socially very dangerous things that I think are just fun. To me, it's all a kind of a game.
What kind of game? I mean, in the sense of, and I guess it has a lot to do with that word psychopath and the incredible impact that it has with us.
Well, the game is, that is the ability to manipulate people, but also to control even the worst circumstances. It's I have enough narcissism and egocentricity that I think I can do anything. So the more the challenge, the more I say, I can do this. Come along with me and do something you've never thought you'd do. And they do that, and it's a kick. I have great pleasure from that. I'm not trying to hurt them, but putting them in danger is something that I was overlooking a lot. And people, when it finally they were telling me, they said, they listed all these things I did. They said, this is not right. You put all these people at risk all the time. So, but for me, I was just getting a thrill out of it. It was thrill-seeking.
And when you think of knowing what you know about the brain, I mean, what makes this story so fascinating is that this is your career, right? This is what you work on. So when you suddenly put the microscope on yourself, how detached can you become to looking at the science?
Well, the one good thing, the one good thing about these psychopathic traits is that you tend to be protected emotionally from things. And so I rarely cry or am upset by things. And somebody can get me furious or elated, and I won't show anything. They just can't read it. And that's typical of psychopathy. It's being able to read people and to hide your own emotions and delay your response for years of retribution, et cetera. And so when I saw this, some people in college reminded me, said, remember that you had a huge cut on your arm and you're just looking at it like it was a science lab? Or remember when you broke all your bones in your left arm and you were just looking at it and saying, look, that's interesting. I have a weird response. I have a low sort of pain response. I have a very high pain threshold, and I tend not to get emotionally upset by things. So when I found this out, it was a new game to win. That's exactly how it felt. So I think I'm able to distance myself from my actual body and brain and everything. It's quite easy without becoming emotionally involved.
The title of the book is The Psychopath Inside. Do you feel that it has always been, as far as safety and as far as what we think of as this incredible dark side, has been mostly inside?
That's right.
And what do you believe, and what have you learned that keeps it from going outside?
Well, this was a difficult part of it, and I said something is missing. And, you know, I had always thought genetics control everything, and I was like a poster boy for my colleagues at this, because I so underscored, not even underscored, the effect of environment, of nurture. And after this experience, I had to eat crow and change my tune. I was wrong. And now I have a deeper appreciation what early environment does. And in my case, I grew up in such a warm family, an extended family, from birth onward and for my whole life. Plus, I've been lucky. You know, I was upper middle class family, kind of smart. I was good looking, athletic. And so I didn't need to do anything that maybe some other psychopaths were. I'm kind of a lucky pro-social psychopath, if you will. I'm not quite a psychopath. I'm close, but I don't flip the switch. And so I think I don't need those things. I don't have to manipulate people for money or sex or power. I do it for a game, and it's just something, it's more fun for me, like I mentioned, for me to do it by telling the truth, manipulating people with the truth than with lies, because that's the level of the game I feel I'm at.
How did this affect those around you? Even, you know, when we always say that admission is you know, halfway to the cure. So is that comforting when you tell people that they were not surprised, but that it's something that you're embracing?
Well, and just, I think in recognizing it, they all, you know, many of them kind of went, see? It was like any, you know, a normal person would do, see, I told you. And so they were, I think, very, very good about it. I had, of all the long-term relationships, I lost one completely, a person who was very close to who refuses to see me again, because that person reevaluated all our interactions over the years in terms of this information. They said, I can't be around you. And one other person we're very close to, I still interact with all the time, but just doesn't want to be alone with me. But everybody else is fine with it. And and even the, you know, the psychiatrist, they know who I am and how I am. They kind of, they still work with me. Nobody has, you know, not stopped collaborating with me or anything. I'm not poison yet, but it was one thing that was of concern to my family, of course, my colleagues, that what I said would hurt them, because they knew it really wouldn't bother me. Right?
Right.
So this is not a heroic venture by just writing the book about it and coming out, because in a way, I don't care. You say, but it can affect other people. That was a struggle, as to how, what to tell, to tell the whole truth, but without telling so much that it hurts others.
Does it help in your work? Does it make you a better scientist? Do you understand more from experiencing it yourself?
Oh, my. Well, first of all, I'm not so cocksure about my ideas like I used to be. You know, very sure about about everything. Not so much, not too much, but really very confident. And now I'm starting to look at all the times, maybe as a scientist, I had it incorrect and didn't admit it completely. And so I can see many of my weaknesses now. What I thought were strengths, I'm now seeing as just my way of glossing over and giving names to things. You know, it's like people, what they do, their psychopathic traits, they may call it on Saturday night a sin and confess the sin. It's really psychopathy. It never goes away. And so it's coming to grips with really how much your biology is driving you. But can you find workarounds? And that's the new challenge this year for me, is to go through the motions of trying to be a regular person and to show people and give them the kind of respect and interaction that I should. So I'm trying that and hoping maybe it'll stick. And but certainly, this has motivated me to really do something with this, you know, socially. And so we're putting together, you know, large grants and programs to see how genes and environment interact in places, in neighborhoods that are very violent, or in the Gaza, because we have, you know, we have colleagues there, and in North Africa, in Europe, and also the kind of people that we, you know, men and women we send in the military to be involved in extremist battle. You know, how do we avoid, you know, them coming home with PTSD or feeding a nascent psychopathy? Are they going at the right age? The answer is no. And so I'm trying to use this now as a positive thing to put together a research program to study the effect of not only violence by itself on a family, but how it affects a neighborhood and a whole culture.
The name of the book is The Psychopath Inside, A Neuroscientist's Personal Journey into the Dark Side of the Brain. It is published by Current. James Fallon, thank you very much for being with us and sharing the story with us this morning. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you. Again, the title of the book, The Psychopath Inside, published by Current. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.